We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Are they a bubble team now?
Charleston Southern? Quite possibly.
Joined out courtside by Mizzou head coach Konzo Martin. Your thoughts on that one?
Tough one. You know, I've been in this thing a long time. Probably one of the toughest ones. Yeah.
I felt for Mike Kelly last night, Tiger Network, here on Talk 980. He was like, I don't know.
What are you supposed to say after this?
I got nothing. Coach? Coach?
From a point
26-point dog came in here and won?
From a point spread standpoint, it's one of the biggest upsets in college basketball this year. You were a 26-point dog. You won by 8.
Coach, you got nothing. How about you?
Coach, what do you think of this? What do you think of this dumpster fire, Coach? Your thoughts?
Oh, wow.
Man, wow. Losing by 8 to Charleston Southern. I mean, well, they were riding high off of that Delta State win the other night.
Yeah. I dove a little bit into Charleston Southern last night, not in a mocking way.
You came in with like more Charleston Southern information than Charleston Southern has.
Because I had to look at their schedule and they played SUU.
Well,
and lost by 35.
Is that South Carolina Upstate?
I'm like, who the hell is SUU?
It's South Carolina Upstate.
Southern Utah.
Oh, Southern Utah.
Beat them by 35. Michigan State, of course, top five
one.
Team.
They beat Michigan State?
No, they lost by 48.
Okay.
They lost to Dayton. By 29.
Is Southern Utah that online university?
No, that's Southern New Hampshire.
It might be.
Lost to Dayton, who is a good team, good enough team, but they got drilled by them. Lost at home to Furman.
I used to know a guy named Furman in St. Louis.
By
Furman
44. Porcelli.
Furman's a good basketball school.
Furman Porcelli was the kind of the Bobo that used to go around with what was his name? Jim Haslett all the time. Like somehow Furman became buddies with Jim Haslett and used to hang out with him. They used to look at art together. That's what I know about Furman.
And then the start there, 5-game losing streak, they lost at North Carolina A&T. Close one though, by 14. So 14, 44, 29, 48, 35, their recent losses before then. I guess they figured it all out in the 71-61 win over Delta State.
There it is.
And then capitalized on that by winning at Mizzou last night.
Well,
yikes.
You know, Southern Utah University, I'm looking at it on a map. I actually drove by that this summer. Didn't realize it. I must have blinked.
SUU.
Yeah, SUU. Must have missed the sign for that one. I think ultimately, though, the big story out of that game for me was the people crowd-shaming Missouri last night. And if you're mad that the crowd was small, number one, why weren't you there? And number two, why are you commenting on Twitter that the crowd was small? Because does that game motivate you to go? I mean, I'm out of the crowd shaming business right now because I think sports has developed itself to a point where the TV product is what they care most about. And if their games are on TV and they're getting a check from the TV network, the crowds really, Josh, in my opinion, have become very ancillary in all this because there's just too many of them. There's too many college basketball games on a Tuesday night in Columbia. How are you going to motivate people to go watch a game against Charleston Southern? You're just not going to be able to do it. And you look at KU, they're selling a mini pack right now at Kansas that includes 4 games. And people are like, oh yeah, those December games that the students don't go to. No, it's Texas, it's West Virginia, it's Iowa State, and it's Tennessee. That's the mini pack that the University of Kansas is selling.
It's
right
a great
now.
Mini pack.
It's a great mini pack.
Give me 4 games?
Yeah.
I'm going to go to those 4.
Those are the 4 you want, right? Like, those are great home games. But that's probably the mini pack.
You know,
that
you're not
going
to commit to 20 or whatever. You know, if you're not going to commit to a full season, which is fine.
Right.
It's a lot of games. Like a season ticket now for anything? That's a lot of games.
It's a lot of games. It's way too
many. But if you're
going
to pick 4, that's 4 pretty good games.
Like,
Looks like the best games on the schedule. Those are available?
Those are available. Yeah, at the University of Kansas right now.
That's a pretty good deal.
There should be no crowd shaming by anybody because people just aren't going to the venues anymore like they used to. I mean, even NFL games aren't packed. Arrowhead wasn't sold out on Sunday. I mean, I'm getting you know, ads for them to buy games to the Denver game.
We went to Lincoln on Friday up in Nebraska.
How
they
was
were,
that?
They
good?
Were. It was cool. It was, yeah. I'd never been there before.
I got to get up there.
It was cool. But they bragged it was like their 370-something straight sellout.
Right.
They might have sold those. They weren't all there.
They weren't all there.
Like there were plenty. There were plenty of seats available
still in the parking lot
in a couple of sections. It was cold
still
too.
Had Holdridge.
It was cold and holiday weekend and everything else. But I'm like, even there, it wasn't full.
Right.
You could get a ticket if you wanted to walk up and get a ticket. Times are tough for everybody trying to sell tickets.
But I think that's why the NFL is brilliant where it is. And I understand they're going to expand that one more game, and they're not going to, you know, use that 17th game as a home game for anybody. It's going to be a neutral site game. And I think that's the way to do it. That's why I'm in favor of that 17th game, having it as an international game for a new audience, because I think the NFL schedule is perfect, man. 8 home games, 8 road games, 16 games. You're not overtaxing your clientele. You're not asking them to be there 81 nights or 30 nights or 20 nights or something like that. You're asking for 8 days. And that's why the NFL works, and that's why it gets great television ratings. That's why it gets great attendance numbers, because it's a limited amount. And I think in sports right now, there are just way too many games for people to have to go to. What is Missouri gaining or Kansas gaining by playing a directional school on a Tuesday night in December, Josh? What are they really gaining out of that? Not a whole heck of a lot.
Their team to get a scrimmage.
Basically is what it is, right? And then you have a game like Missouri where you pay a team to come and they beat you by 8 when you're a 26-point favorite, and you don't have anybody at the game, so it's not like you're making a huge chunk of money at the gate. You probably lost a lot of money on that game last night. Plus, you lost a game in the standings in a game, you know, in the loss column as well. So I just think right now sports needs to think about cutting back and reducing the amount of games. Like, God love people who are 81-game season ticket holders to any baseball team and that go to a majority of those games. How you fit that into your schedule,
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Like, even baseball players, like, I got a thing. I can't play all these games. You know, like, it's crazy, and that's their job to do stuff like that. I just think with the NBA, television ratings are down 20%. You're seeing these college games, basically Missouri playing in an empty gym last night. Kansas is offering mini packs featuring great games. Like, I think sports needs to look at itself in the mirror and say, we need to reduce the games, we need to have fewer games, and we need to make them bigger and follow the lead of the National Football League. There's no question why it's the most successful sports league on earth.
And even those aren't hard tickets to get.
Right, yeah. It's not. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's like, right. It's kind of the fact of the world right now, but especially midweek games anymore.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Come on, don't be playing a Tuesday night game at Columbia or Lawrence or Manhattan.
Those don't work. Yeah, too many games. I'm with you. And bad losses, hey, they happen. It's ultimately not gonna. I think Missouri's in some trouble, but
yeah.
I don't think it was just because of that. You know, that's not a devastating one. That one, you go oof oof. But they gotta figure things out. So they're 4-4 are the Tigers. Yikes. Here's another one who's back. He's back with us. Colin Cowherd, 1660 The Score, Fox Sports. Here come the Chiefs.
Watch out. Here they come. They've had O-line issues. They've had Patrick Mahomes' hurt issues. They've had wide receiver injuries. Oh, now they're the band's back this weekend, and they're healthy. And despite all those issues, they are 4th in total offense. They took the Raiders out of that game in about 5 minutes. They have not lost by more than 7 points all year, despite a series of injuries to crucial pieces on offense. We know they've got the head coach. I got Kansas City at 4. Here they come.
And there they come. At number 4 in the power rankings. And 3 weeks ago, they were outside of his top 10. They weren't even in the top 10 for Colin Cowherd. And the point that he made there that I found to be so fascinating, Josh, even with Patrick Mahomes out, they didn't lose a game by more than a touchdown. The Patriots lost by 17 to the Ravens. The Seahawks lost by 14 to the Ravens. The Ravens lost by 15 to the Browns. And the Texans lost by 34 to the Ravens. And, oh, by the way, the Chiefs beat the Ravens. So, like every other team that you would look at in the NFL that you would say is probably, you know, on par with or maybe better than the Kansas City Chiefs, judging on record, they all had big blowout losses. The Chiefs under Andy Reid, and I heard Binkley talking about this the other day, there aren't a lot of games where they've been blown out.
They're one of the least blowoutable teams.
Yeah, they are.
Is that stat?
It is. I mean, but when you think about it, the Kansas City Chiefs and what they accomplished, like I was talking about last segment with everybody crying about Gronk missing for the Patriots and what they're doing, the Kansas City Chiefs, man, each time I dig deeper and look at different things about this organization, I just keep getting reminded on how great this season has been. for this team and for this city and for this fan base, man. Like, this has been just a spectacular season when you think about all the adversity that they've had to overcome. And even in their losses, they're within one score of winning those football games. And a couple of them, they didn't have their starting quarterback out there in Patrick Mahomes, or their starting wide receiver, or their starting left tackle. Like, this team, now that they're healthy and they're hitting December, they have to be, in my opinion, the scariest team right now in the NFL outside of the Baltimore Inner Harbor. Like, the Kansas City Chiefs right now, to me, are the scariest team to face, because for the first time this season, Josh, we are seeing a healthy team and we are seeing a defense that is playing better than they have all season long. Look out, baby. December and January can't get here soon enough for this final month of the season and into the postseason, because, man, I am feeling good about our guys.
Your chance to win as we play Pick the Patriot. 913-576-7610 to play next.
Fesco in the morning.
This may be our easiest edition. We'll find out.
I don't know.
I feel like we should.
The first one I'm looking at, I'm going, I don't know who that is.
Okay, we should. I feel like we should know these because we're so hyper-focused on the Patriots. But each and every week we play pick the opponent.
That's right.
Happens to be the Patriots. 913-576-7610 to play. Flying Horse Tap Room gift pack on the line. All you have to do is tell us. We're going to give you three names. You tell us which one's a Patriot. No cheating. Don't grab the roster.
Yeah, don't do that. Come
just, we'll give you three names, two of which usually have something in common. The third is a player.
Right.
So you have to tell us which one is the Patriot.
And for the Flying Horse gift pack today, you're going to get a flatbread. You're going to get a crowler of beer. You're going to get a great T-shirt. You can order online now at flyinghorsetaproom.com. Order all of your food there. They'll deliver it to you as well.
On a flying horse.
Yeah, on a flying horse.
Which is wild.
Trey will come in on a flying horse for you with food.
It's a nice addition.
We are this close, Josh, this close to being
a flying horse.
But to be able to order beer for delivery from Flying Horse.
How do you get
a
flying horse on a plane? Is that even more difficult?
Is that more difficult
than a regular horse on
a plane? Well, it's flapping its wings all around.
That'd be hard to contain.
Knocking passengers over.
Hard to contain.
Knock somebody's toupee off.
John and KCK is up first. John, pick the Patriot. Jack McCoy, Joe Cardona, Denny Crane.
Jack McCoy.
Incorrect.
No,
incorrect.
Jack McCoy
would be the lawyer, of course, on Law & Order. Jack McCoy, Denny Crane, both television lawyers. Joe Cardona, the long snapper for the Patriots.
Joe Cardona lives on the North End. It's Prince Spaghetti Day on Wednesday in Boston's North End.
He enjoys that. Very well could. Next up on Pick the Patriot, Bill and KC. Bill, Todd Jones, Doug Jones, Jonathan Jones. Pick the Patriot.
Jonathan Jones.
That is correct.
Yes.
Jonathan Jones. Hey. We don't have our ding dang. There we go. Todd Jones, Doug Jones, former MLB closers with 300 or more career saves.
Do you believe that Todd Jones and Doug Jones each had 300 or more saves?
I would think combined maybe, but they're separate. All right, see if you can go two for two. Alexander Dane, Isaiah Wynn, David Friedman.
Wynn
is correct. He is the left tackle. Alexander Dane, David Friedman, both Alan Rickman characters.
This is Alan Rickman at 555. Alan Rickman.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Steven, go three for three. Rylan Milner, Ronald Van Dam, Albert Huggins.
Miller?
No.
Incorrect. You almost got three for three. I had no idea. Albert Huggins is a defensive lineman for the Patriots.
Right.
Brian, who's on vacation, is still writing these up, right?
Right.
Rylan Milner and Ronald Van Dam are both Missouri Sports Hall of Fame inductees.
In 1988. I don't think that's fair, because Ronald Van Dam always went by Luther when he was coaching at Minnesota State. And so
that's true.
You would know him better as Luther Van Dam.
You also know him as Jean-Claude.
That's true.
Ryan in Blue Springs. Ryan's playing Pick the Patriot.
Yep.
Damon Johnson. Damian Harris, Ricky Warwick.
Damian Harris.
Correct. Damian Harris is correct. He's a running back. Damon Johnson, Ricky Warwick, members of the band Thin Lizzy.
Who had like one song.
Don't tell that to Scott
Parks. Scott Parks will kill you for that. Yeah.
Kill you. Pick the Patriot. Ryan Izzo, Casey Mize, Royce Lewis.
second. What was the second one?
Ryan Izzo, Casey Mize, Royce Lewis.
Casey Mize.
Casey Mize is incorrect.
No, it's incorrect.
Casey Mize would be a current top 10 Major League Baseball prospect.
Along with Royce,
Royce Lewis. Ryan Izzo, tight end.
Come on, you got to know Ryan Izzo. He's the Gronk of the future, right?
He's the new Gronk.
God.
Steve in Independence is up next. Steve.
Actually, I'm at the stadium, bud.
Nice. What are you doing
in the stadium?
There?
Nice.
Going to get the Jackson County residence ticket.
Oh, that's right. Playoff tickets go on sale today for Jackson County. How big's the line out there?
I'm just pulling up, so I haven't quite seen it yet.
All right. Goes on sale at 10 a.m., I believe, right? Everybody else tomorrow.
9 a.m. this morning.
Oh, 9 a.m.
9 a.m., all right. Be
good,
there, be square.
Good there. Good, I like
all
that.
Right, pick the Patriot. Andrew Clark, Brian Johnson, Nate Ebner.
Brian Johnson.
No. Incorrect. Brian Johnson would be a character on The Breakfast Club.
Along with Andrew Clark.
Ebner is the safety for the Patriots. We do not have a winner today.
We do not.
We do not have a winner today.
People do not know the Patriots.
I'm surprised. I thought this would be the easiest edition of Pick the Patriot or Pick the opposing team.
No, he did a good job today with random names, man.
Everybody would know they're Patriots.
I mean, he didn't go with Tom Brady or Mohamed Sanu or Rex Burkhead. He went with people you may not know.
Dante Hightower?
No, he's not on the list.
Is he covering the tight end again? He's always been pretty good at that.
Their defense is good, though. I mean, their defense is pretty good. Their defense is legit. We'll see what they can do against Patrick Mahomes. It wasn't legit against, you know, two good quarterbacks.
No McCourty brothers. Could have had
the McCourtys.
All McCourtys.
All the McCourtys.
I didn't know. Albert Huggins, Mr. Huggins.
I just knew Damian Harris.
I don't know any of the long snappers.
Higgins. You're thinking of Mr. Higgins.
Of course I am.
You saw OJ.
Of course I am.
We going now to Mr. Higgins.
Below not good.
I don't know why at all. It's like the circle of OJ. Just never stops.
He'll be coming up later on in the show today. We got a
really?
OJ, we got an OJ update. Yeah. When we power rank random things, brother.
Oh, that's right.
You remember that song from The Lion King called The Circle of Life, right? Mm-hmm. And it was sung by Elton John, The Circle of Life, The Wheel of Fortune.
I figured you'd give great me a song. Different name.
It's a great song,
other than
right?
Elton John.
No, Elton John, which, by the way, is continuing his tour. Did you see that?
Yes, his final tour
his
is continuing.
Final tour, he's coming back to Kansas
touring
City.
Touring or not touring, game we played over the summer, the answer more often than not is touring.
I was dying. I saw that the other day. I'm like, Elton John's like added 26.
Extending his farewell tour.
And he's going back to places he's already been. Well, there's a demand, sure.
It's good there. Looks like the crowd was full. Let's do it again.
Sell more tickets. Let's go, baby. Elton John continuing that tour, which I may want to go to that concert this time. He's really, really good.
This is it.
This is it, right? This is the last
final,
chance.
Final last chance.
Last call at the bar. Is this 155 or something?
Final. Like,
is this
never
it?
Know.
Are we sure we're done?
Yep.
What if he just does one song?
He what?
What if he just goes there and does one song?
One song? Does Candle in the Wind and moves
on. Just leaves.
Yeah, just blows it out.
All right, see you guys.
Candle burned out long before my legend ever did. So the circle of life,
even
the circle
if you can't
of OJ,
sing, you could evolve into like Neil Diamond doing.
Oh God, that. I saw Neil Diamond at Kemper Arena.
He didn't sing anymore. He just spoken word. I mean, you just did the Elton John spoken word. That's next.
I mean, I could do Rocket Man just like Stewie did. You know, I am a Rocket Man. Neil Diamond I saw in 2003 at Kemper Arena, and it was bad. Like, you felt bad for that cat.
That was in
2003.
Three, wow.
Yeah. Eww. Far. We've been traveling far.
Yeah, he doesn't sing. He just speaks.
You're just talking, man. Like, how about some music? Let's add something to this. It was really not good. Below not good.
Below
is what,
not
catch
good.
A beat.
What Neil Diamond was. But I think you could do the new song, The Circle of OJ, if you wanted to, because everything does come back to OJ Simpson. Yes.
I was wondering. I didn't know where the circle this particular time.
It comes back to OJ.
With Elton John. I wanted to get you back to Elton John, not realizing that it was actually going to lead to
O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson.
It almost did.
Hello, Twitter world.
Hello, Twitter world.
Just saying.
He was on there the other day talking about
something. Didn't see you there. Hello, Twitter world.
Yeah. Oh, hey, thanks for joining me.
I'm ashamed I watched so many of those stupid videos.
I enjoy them. I laugh.
They're hysterical. He's so non-self-aware.
Yeah, he's the worst.
I'm just saying, take care.
He has no clue. Has no idea. Has no idea that he stole all that gear from those people.
I hate you. Big story coming up, and we power rank random things next.
Fesco in the morning.
This half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Priest Holmes coming up at 9:15. He is our 60th anniversary Chiefs interview.
You don't want to miss this one. We taped it yesterday with Priest, and it was really, I thought, really good. Like, one of the best interviews I've heard with Priest ever do. Like, he was open, talked about things we haven't heard of before, and, man, it's just a good look back at his career.
And, like, he was, like, super upbeat.
Yeah.
Like, he was... He's ready to run.
He was ready to go. Yeah. He's ready to play in this offense right now.
Give him the football.
He even said that he would take this offense right now over that 2003 offense, even though save the quarterback. I'm taking that 2003 offense. Better running back, better tight end. I like Eddie Kinnison, but I would move Tyreek Hill to that offense. I'd take that entire offensive line and Patrick Mahomes. I'd combo a lot of the pieces.
You could make that one work.
But that five up front, man, whew. I'd sub out John Tate, bring in Mitchell Schwartz, and play the right tackle spot, too. But, man, even if he didn't do that, that offensive line.
After Carl yelled at his agent?
Yeah.
Okay. And then that's when he went out, and then Mitchell Schwartz came in?
No, that was his rookie year when he was playing the left side. And then when they brought in Willie Rofe, he moved over. So the yelling may have happened in the previous century. I'm trying to think when he was drafted in the 90s, wasn't he? I think he was.
I don't remember if it was cool. Yeah. No, he wasn't there that year. He wasn't a Chief that long, was he?
Yeah.
Was he? Beyond his, like, rookie deal?
Yeah. I think he was. Oh. I think he signed another deal with Kansas City. Maybe not, though.
Well, I just remember.
Drafted in 99. Yeah, first round pick of 99, 14th 99. Overall.
So that would have been his first, his rookie
so
deal.
So 99 to 03, he was a Chief, and then 04 to 08, he was, so it was just his rookie. Well, back then it was a lot different, though, with rookie deals and things like that. You know, you got all that upfront money. That's why there was yelling in an elevator, because you got all that money up front. And
there was a reason to hold out then, too.
Yeah, there was. Now there's no reason to hold out anymore. You're not getting, like, paid. It's all kind of slotted money right now. So
9:15 for Priest Holmes. Big story.
Everyone, I'm sorry for the delay, but the big moment has finally come.
It's the big story.
This may be the biggest thing that's ever happened.
If it's what you're talking about, it's what we're talking about.
My God, are you still talking?
On Fesco in the Morning.
Now, without getting an injury update as of yet, it seems there was definitely a need. The Chiefs, as we told you yesterday, were bringing in Spencer Ware for a workout.
That's right.
They sent signed Spencer Ware and then released wide receiver Garrett Dieter.
That's unfortunate.
So Andy will speak today around noon. You can hear it here on 610 Sports Radio. Maybe we'll give an injury update on specifically the running back position, because if they signed Spencer Ware, not just kick the tires on Spencer Ware, leads me to believe that there's a need.
Well, there is a need, and I think the need comes from not giving the ball to LeSean McCoy in December. Not because you have a case of non-believing and because you're afraid he's going to fumble the football and cost you a game like a lot of us are. I think the big reason why you signed him, number one, it shows you that the Williamses probably aren't healthy right now, and you clearly need somebody in there to handle some of the carries. But I really believe as the days go by, Josh, more and more in the load management of LeSean McCoy, and thinking back to that game where he missed against the Tennessee Titans, going, man, that may have been Andy Reid's, you know, when you list, like, really amazing things that he did this year as a head football coach, I would put the load management of LeSean McCoy higher and higher on this list, because, in my opinion, if you're going to win games in January this year and into February, you need a running back that you can count on, that you can rely on, that can put games away, that can ice this thing for you. The best guy on your team right now is LeSean McCoy. Now, he's 31 years old. There's only so many carries left in a 31-year-old running back. So you bring in Spencer Ware. You let him take some of the carries now for the final month of the season. He knows the playbook. He's familiar with the situation. He's familiar with the coach and all that. He knows what he needs to do. And then when January rolls around, you have as fresh as possible a 31-year-old LeSean McCoy that then you can ride and rely on in the postseason. So I think, obviously, the Williamses have some injury issues that they need to deal with. But Spencer Ware comes in to just give LeSean McCoy a breather for the rest of the regular season, so he's as fresh as a 31-year-old running back can be going into January. I think they really are managing his load, and I think once we get into the playoffs, we are going to see all of the load management off of LeSean McCoy, and it's going to be go time. And if he didn't manage his load in the regular season, then maybe he wouldn't be ready and fresh enough to go. And Andy has said how many times, hey, I know this guy. I've been around this guy. I know what I'm doing here with this guy. I'm trusting Andy on this.
I would still like to see a little bit of Darwin Thompson. I don't know that you will, because it might fall back into the same scenario where it was before, where they always thought they might be able to get him an opportunity and never really could.
Right.
But certainly in a game against the Patriots that, you know, could be close.
Sure.
Right. Could be their defense kind of slowing you down. It could be a one possession type game. I don't know that you're going to get a ton of opportunities for Darwin Thompson under that mix. But also, I don't know if you're going to throw Spencer Ware in this week either.
Right.
So you might get Darwin Thompson and LeSean McCoy as a combo this week. And,
oh, I think you're going to see Spencer Ware this week.
Spencer Ware, I mean, might have to be pressed into service depending on where the Williams are. But if they signed him and not just had him hang at the Ramada.
Right. They tore it down.
The airport Ramada and wait for that C.J. Spiller type phone call. I got to think that there's going to be an injury update today that says one or both won't be available coming up on Sunday.
Probably not. Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, at least Dar Williams won't be. I mean, he took a shot there. That hamstring, like, it looked like, boy, that was an ugly deal. Yeah,
and, that looked like it popped, didn't it?
And Damian Williams may still have a chance. You'll have another, you know, today we'll probably have an answer on that. He still could get a shot to play. But I'm thinking most likely we're going to see some Spencer Ware on Sunday, and I think it's just to save and preserve LeSean McCoy for when it matters most, and that's January this year.
There's a big story. Chiefs and Pats, of course, coming up on Sunday. We'll get an injury update from Andy Reid a little bit later on, midday today. And, of course, you want to listen to that because that gives you clues for who he talking about.
Who he talking about coming your way on Friday.
That's Friday.
Right. Yep.
So be listening to today's Andy Presser. Jim Nantz has an idea.
I like this idea, and I think you're going to like this idea as well.
Now, you know, sometimes you say Jim Nantz has an idea, and some people might roll their eyes, right?
Oh, what does he want to serve, filet instead of the braised beef at the country club?
I'm going to be forced to watch the Masters.
Right.
I don't want to watch the Masters. I don't want to do it.
Is he going to have some high-end whiskeys that I can't afford, you know, stuff like that? No. Jim Nantz has a really, really, really good idea, and this comes from The Athletic and their media column. Richard Deitch interviewed Jim Nantz, and Jim Nantz says, look, I'm not the only one with this idea, but this is the first time that I've heard this presented, and you know how I am with the tinfoil hat. I'd like to get behind the curtain on a lot of things involving the National Football League, and I think when you allow your fans to have that kind of access, it makes you bought in more to that product. And so Jim Nantz's idea is this. Jim Nantz wants viewers to be able to see and hear the decision-making, from the Art McNally Game Day Central in New York City, the league's officiating center, when it comes to plays being reviewed in NFL games. Nantz says, quote, I think there ought to be cameras in there so we can watch them make a decision on it, Nantz told the writer's block last week on Sportsnet's Canada. Good TV. The fans need to know what they are looking at. We show them the replay, but we don't hear what they are saying. It needs to be mic'd, and it needs to have cameras in there. This is an entertainment business. And Nantz nails it right there. It is. Sports is an entertainment business, and that's what I've been saying for years. You got to treat sports like the movies and Broadway and concerts. It's another form of entertainment. It just happens to be, you know, a lot more on the line in sports than there isn't anything else, right? How cool would that be if you got that behind-the-scenes access? You feel like you're getting somewhere you're not supposed to be. You hear what these guys are saying, and then I think we all, broadcasters included, and fans, we can all understand then why they came to that conclusion that they came to in New York, as opposed to just hearing the referee saying, call stands, ball is at the 35-yard line, let's play. I would love to hear the back and forth, the discussion, the analyzation of what's going on and why they got there. Now, there are two reasons why I don't think the NFL will ever do that. They don't want to open that can of worms for you to hear what's going on. And number two, that's prime commercial real estate. They've sold that they can send it a commercial break, and you can get your Geico ad.
Oh, you could do that. Well, yeah, you couldn't do it screen and screen, could you? Because you need the sound.
You need the sound for the commercial.
I just think for some reason, referees and umpires and whatever hold some kind of magical power over sports leagues and fan bases and whatever. And they're not subject to transparency.
Right, at all.
Ever. ever, ever, ever. That's why I don't think it'll work. It'll happen. I wish it would.
But don't you think it's a great idea?
Yes, of course. Of course. Wouldn't you want to see the discussion that goes into how you break down a rule and explain it to us and we can become more knowledgeable? Although they're just going to be worried about second guessing and all of us calling them boobs.
Right. But if you give a reason why you did it that way, and who the hell cares? If you're a referee in the NFL, who cares?
Nobody knows you
Monday through Saturday.
That's the system that's been set up where they're not transparent. They're not really accountable. They go and do their business, and we can complain about it, but they just go about their day.
But why not change it? Because especially with this pass interference penalty where everybody believes the refs are in cahoots to not, you know, reverse anything. Because they don't
like
the rule.
Well, I'd love to hear those
right?
real conversations.
Like, just sit there and go, all right, let's watch the fight. What are you guys doing
about,
tonight?
Yeah, you know, exactly. You know, talking about dinner.
Yeah.
What time's your flight? My flight's at this time.
This idea that Nance said actually happened in the AAF. I watched a few games of the Alliance of American Football, and they actually had this stuff where it's like, okay, got to go upstairs.
The replay official was kind of mic'd, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, like, he was breaking down, okay, this person's here, there. Okay, I see the foul or whatever it was right here. I mean, it worked then, so I don't see why they can't adopt.
Because nobody cared about that league.
Well, no, I'm just saying, it's kind of like how the Skycam, that was brought in from the XFL.
Yeah, and then,
like, why don't you bring something like this? I mean, the XFL folded the first time. The AAF folded, of course, in 8 weeks.
Right.
But so, like, why don't bring in some goods and repair them and make them better?
Because
They don't want to open up themselves to that kind of criticism.
Yeah, they just don't want to do it because then baseball will open itself up and everybody wants to know what's going on in New York when they send it there for the replay. You're going to want to hear what the umpires hearing on the headset and things like that. Like, I think they truly want to keep their referees at this level where they're untouchable. But I think it would make it for a much better viewing experience to have. Well,
for sure.
That.
I mean, college game too.
Yeah.
When they go, the referee goes to the little thing and he puts on the headset and he's talking to somebody upstairs. And yeah, you'd like to hear that discussion. You're watching something either on replay or in a stadium on a big screen and you want to see, what exactly are they looking at?
Because
you love to hear those things, but they're not going to open themselves up to that kind of scrutiny.
Because,
no
Josh,
chance.
9 times out of 10, and you know this as well as anybody, we all sit there, we all judge what we think we see, and it always comes back opposite. And no matter who the referee, the former referee in the booth is, who the color analyst is, who the play-by-play guy is, no matter what those guys say or gals say, it seemingly always comes back opposite. So I would like to know why we, as the general public, all believe it was A, but they went with B. I'd like to hear that reasoning, and maybe that would get us to view a lot of this stuff differently. And also, too, maybe if you were hearing this and coaches could hear this after the game, we wouldn't see so many challenges in these games, and coaches would realize, oh, they did make the right call, or they, you know what I'm saying? Like, you would know on the field that you wouldn't have to challenge because it wasn't going to be reviewed. So I just think transparency is key to everything, and I love this idea. I think it would be fantastic.
Referees and umpires have held this power to be above it all.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know exactly where it comes from. Is there always a fear that they're going to walk off? I don't know. But they have never been held accountable.
Ever. In any sport. You would think somebody would go, you know what? Let's hold the referee. Because look at Ron Rivera today. He's doing press conferences. He's doing interviews. He was fired. He's held accountable. Players are held accountable. Owners are held accountable. General managers are held accountable. The only people in sports who aren't held accountable, at least to the general public, are the officials. And they're in the spotlight more than anybody.
Time to look at this week's power rankings. The Chiefs continue to move up in most, but not all. The Levines, they are up to number 5. Chiefs at number 5 this week behind the Ravens, Seahawks, Saints, and 49ers in Sean Levine of the Drive's power rankings. Chiefs at number 5. We call them the Levines.
The Levines.
ESPN, they're up 2 spots this week to number 6. Number 6 in this week's power poll for ESPN. We'll discuss their question of the week coming up a little bit later.
You know where they're ranked in my poll this week?
You don't have one.
They're number one. I don't worry about anybody else. Yeah.
But they were up from number 8 last week in the ESPN poll. NFL.com, the Chiefs stay put at number 8. They have a new number 1, though. The Ravens have moved up.
Yeah.
Seahawks number 2. Seattle, which was their, or 49ers, I should say, which was their number 1, drops to number 3. And the Chiefs are at number 8, staying put.
CBS.
They didn't get as much credit for the Raider game. NFL.com was not impressed.
No, they won, and that's where I am. I'm like they beat the Raiders. So what?
And then there's our friends at CBS Sports.
What is their beef?
Pete Prisco continues to...
That guy's just blocked me.
Just continue to stay the course. Ravens number one. They have the Seahawks up 2 to number 2. Saints 3. 49ers 4. Patriots 5. Packers 6. Vikings 7. Bills 8. Yep, I'm continuing to go. Texans 9. Chiefs at number 10.
So what do they say?
Stay put at number 10. They basically locked up the division by beating the Raiders. The defense is showing big-time improvement by the week.
Yeah, that's I don't disagree with any of that.
So they got some credit, but not moving up. So they're at number 10 in this week's CBS Power Poll. CBS, the hardest to please via Pete Prisco.
Mm-hmm. He just hates Kansas City.
He does not like
What went wrong there? What went sideways between us and him? Like, to the point where he's blocked me on Twitter.
He's blocked a lot of Kansas City on Twitter.
Yeah, what happened with... I don't even remember now why we don't like Pete Prisco.
That's how it usually happens. It lingers so long, you don't even remember why you're mad.
Now, I know why we don't like Lock and Fora, because he was a troll with the Orioles. I get that. Yeah. That's legit. But Pete Prisco, I don't understand. What went sideways there? Does anybody remember?
I just woke up one day and was like, I'm over it.
Something happened, though. There was something that went on with Pete Prisco.
He's in Jacksonville. Was it something with the Jags?
Nah, I don't think so.
No. I don't remember. It's too far in the rearview mirror. I just find it comical now.
Where does Jimmy the Greek have us this week?
Now it doesn't even matter why.
Right. It doesn't
I don't care
like,
why.
I don't know why I don't
we just
like
know
you
we don't
anymore.
Like him.
Why don't we like you? I don't know.
I don't know. Who cares? Doesn't really matter. So that's this week's Power Rankings. Of course, in addition to the Power Rankings, we power rank random things. And in honor of Ron Rivera getting fired.
That's right.
Who had one of the great nicknames. Riverboat Ron.
Really good nickname.
Really
right?
Good. Really good nickname.
And he's still riverboating it up, holding press conferences.
Oh,
he's talking to
he's
everybody today.
Court. That's where he should have actually had the press conference. You said the driveway. It should have been actually on a riverboat.
On a riverboat.
Yeah.
Do they have rivers in Charlotte, though?
I don't know. Maybe a canal or something. Get a riverboat out there.
You got to have something.
So in honor of a Riverboat Ron, we power rank our favorite sports nicknames.
All right.
I will start today. Number four, the galloping ghost, Red Grange.
Did you watch him play?
This goes back a little while. Yeah, saw
goes
his first
back to
game.
Your childhood.
Saw his first game. Helmet's optional. He chose to wear the leather helmet, but the galloping ghost is a pretty fantastic nickname.
That's a good one.
Number three for me, Ironhead Hayward.
His
name was Craig, but nobody called him Craig.
He passed, right? We lost
him. I believe so. Ironhead Hayward. Number two, the Nigerian Nightmare.
Ah, yes.
Of course.
Christian Okoye.
Just a fantastic nickname. And the number one for me is always, because he brings a smile to every time I see him, Refrigerator Perry.
Yeah.
William,
still mad he
the refrigerator
scored
Perry.
A touchdown the Super
no,
Bowl.
No, it was fine they scored
paid.
A touchdown, but Peyton should have scored as well. Yeah. I wasn't mad at Fridge for that. Fridge earned that touchdown and
all
the spike.
Right. Kramer, what do you got on your list today?
My number four, the big ticket, Kevin Garnett. We had number three, Dr. J, Julius Erving. The mailman at number two, Carl Malone. And number one, Big Poppy, David Ortiz.
All right, there you
Poppy's
go.
Poppy's a good one, too.
You can text yours in as well, 69306 on the text line today. For me, off the list, and I just thought of it, Jimmy the Greek was a great name. Whatever happened to him? He's dead, too, right?
Yeah.
Like a long time dead,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, not a good person.
No, he was. Yeah. That's right. He went off in a restaurant or something, right?
Yeah.
96.
He died in 96? Yeah. I remember him and Brent Musburger talk gambling all the time on the pregame show back in the day. Number four for me is the Big Dipper, Wilt Chamberlain. Remember, we talked about him yesterday. 53
at
points and
debut.
35 rebounds in his college debut.
50 and 30, something like that. Yeah.
The round mound of rebound, Charles Barkley.
Very good one.
On that list. I just like the nickname simply Shaq for, of course, Shaq Harrison. And finally, the number one nickname in all of sports.
Yes.
The Juice.
Oh, geez.
The Juice is loose.
Yes. Why didn't I see that
OJ.
Coming? Why didn't I see that
great
coming?
Sports nickname.
I'll see OJ. So there's your power ranking of random things today, sports nicknames in honor of Riverboat Ron.
I want yours, 69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line today. What are your favorite sports nicknames? Who do you have on that list for great sports nicknames? 69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text
Big
line.
Unit's a good one. That's I saw that
That was
a
my
lot.
Nickname.
No, it wasn't.
No.
Big Unit, pretty good. Legend Bob.
Legend Bob. That's a good one.
Oh, that's fantastic. And someone put it in all caps, too, because they knew they had a good one. They knew they had a good text.
They couldn't wait to text that.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. The sausage.
Read the one below that.
Tom Trubisky. Yeah. That's not a good nickname. It's not a good nickname.
OJ Mahomes comes in. Remember when OJ dressed as Mahomes for Halloween?
Terrible. Yeah. Terrible. The Truth. Yeah. It's a good one. Paul Pierce, The Truth. A Snack. Anybody named Snacks?
Snacks is a good one.
It's a good one as well. The Bus. Very good one.
I can't keep up with the text line right
now. The Big Aristotle.
He Hate Me.
He Hate Me on there.
He Hate Me. That's a pretty good one, too.
Can you tell me the name of the real He Hate Me?
No.
Either of you guys? It's Rod Smart.
Oh, yeah, Rod Smart. Okay. Yeah. No.
Wasn't he in Carolina?
Yes.
The Big Fundamental. Tim Duncan. I always like that one. The Joker. Joe Randa.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Fred McGriff, the Crime Dog. I'm mad I forgot that.
That was an honorable mention for me. That and Megatron. I always like Megatron, too.
My honorable mention is Polish Leg, Sebastian Janikowski.
Yeah.
The Answer.
Trent Edwards, Captain Checked. Somebody's mad at Trent Edwards.
Wow, someone's all mad at Trent Edwards. Had him in their fantasy team or something. You keep coming. 69306 on the text line today.
This is a good one. I didn't know this. Ben Oktobreist.
Really? Did that catch on?
I don't know.
That's terrible. I don't like that one at all.
The bagel oil guy. Can Boyd. Oil Can Boyd is a good one. Did we lose Oil Can? Is he still around?
I believe he's dead.
I don't know that he is.
He's not?
I don't know.
I'll look it up real quick while you're looking at the ones.
Yeah, I think he is.
Let's see. Oil Can
he's
Boyd.
He's still alive. 60 really? Years old.
Moose, that's a good one.
I thought we lost Oil Can.
I thought Oil Can was in a bad way for a while there. He may have been in a bad way.
He was doing coke on the mound, but I mean.
Yeah. LT is a good one, too, for Lawrence Taylor. That's a nice nickname.
First thing that comes up, Oil Can Boyd, minor Mexican and independent leagues.
Oh.
Just shows
so
you
he's
where,
played everywhere.
Where his game went.
He's still
basically,
playing
he
now.
Was like season two of
Oil Can's waiting for the
down
next call.
And, down and whatever.
Yeah, eastbound and
eastbound
down.
Eastbound and down.
Yeah, that's the Oil Can Boyd edition.
Yeah, it good. Was it E60 or 30 for 30 on him? It was pretty good.
I'm sure it was. Yeah. I mean, the guy's name was Oil Can Boyd. Like, that's a great nickname.
60 years young for Oil Can Boyd.
Yeah, I'm surprised he's that.
Mean Joe Green.
It's a good one as well.
Yeah. Bill Self's nickname, The Greatest.
Is he?
For me.
Time for another edition of Doting on Mahomes.
The guy that you just can never game plan for is Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes still continues to make throws that you just can't understand or rationalize. I mean, this is not easy. This is left hash to far sideline, on the money, on the run to one of the fastest players in the league, and he just shrugs it off like, I do this all the time. Make it easy. Here's another one. You go out, bootleg, you think you got it covered up. Max Crosby's out there. He just flips it down the middle of the field. How does he even see Travis Kelce stopping and adjusting his route back to the middle? Some of the plays that he makes, it's just hard to defend. The Raiders actually had a pretty decent game plan against them, but there's only so much you can game plan for when you have a guy with that much ability. Just incredible watch. Now they're getting healthy. The Kansas City Chiefs are a really difficult team.
And
that
that's
was another edition of Doting on Mahomes.
Phyllis Rivers has come in numerous times now on the text line.
David Carr, NFL Network, kind of put his hands up. He's like, I saw my brother having a hard time with this Chiefs team, one and two.
He said he saw his brother and then he talked to his brother about
like,
it,
like, I
too.
Can't game plan for Mahomes. I mean, what are you going
to
do?
Right. What are you supposed to do? You really can't. I mean, you go through and you see a couple of the throws that he utilized there. That Tyreek Hill throw to the sidelines was just
that
incredible.
Kelce one was ridiculous.
And then
too.
That Kelce one was really insane, man. Like that one where he
changes the arm angle to get around the defender and then just kind of just flips it to the middle. And then Kelce has to leap and make the, like
I'll give Kelce a lot of credit too, man. That was a catch.
Yeah, that was a good play after some drops early on. That was a really good play. But how he saw him is unbelievable. Like, is that just taking? You know, I hope he's there.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
but that's trusting your receivers. I mean, that's the difference right now between Patrick Mahomes and Tom Trubisky is that Mahomes trusts his guys, know where they're going to be, and is able to throw it up, and they're going to catch it.
It's Brady's.
Tom Squared is not able to do that because he doesn't trust his guys out there. So that's the way we look at that. That's the way we look at that right now. That's the difference between the two quarterbacks. They got skill position players they can trust and skill position players they can't trust. So, the new KC Bobcast drops today. Remember, Kramer, you got to put that up. After
I got
the show. Got
a
that
reminder
up.
For Kramer as well.
And I did it with Jay Binkley. And my KC Bobcast is people who have great stories and live in Kansas City or have a connection to Kansas City that just have great stories to tell and to share. It's a really just a conversation with someone. I mean, we've had some really cool guests on the KC Bobcast, and you can get that at the 435 Podcast Network at 610sports.com. You can download it, listen to these interviews. And I did Jay Binkley this week, or this every 2 weeks. On the every other Wednesday, we release a new episode. And people are thinking, well, why would you interview a guy that you work with? Well, Jay Binkley, to me, is one of the hardest working, most dedicated, not only employees, but people you will ever meet. Mm-hmm. And for the last 2 years, Jay's been living with a secret that he hasn't talked about until with me yesterday.
I haven't felt my legs in 2 years. You know, you got to get used to that. I think I broke my toe, but I couldn't feel it. You know, I don't feel cold. I wear shorts all the time, which I've always done, but I don't feel it. And the hardest thing to people understand is the fatigue part of it. Some days you just get worn down, man.
So that's what Jay Binkley has been dealing with for the last 2 years, a disease. And if you download the podcast, you can hear what that disease is. You can hear how he's battled it, what he's been through, and what's next for Jay Binkley. Because the last 2 years for this guy, who has been nothing but a dedicated friend and employee and father, is looking at a situation, and I'll say it for him. He's in the fight of his life. He's in the fight for his life right now. And when you hear this podcast and you hear Jay talk about what he's been through over the last 2 years and where he's going, I think you're going to have a different appreciation for Jay Binkley. And I texted you after it. I talked to Speck after it, our boss. I go, it was incredible. Jay was absolutely incredible talking about what he's facing right now and what he's going through. And so download the podcast, check out the interview at the 435 Podcast Network at 610sports.com, and you can get a kind of a behind-the-scenes look at what the last 2 years have been like for a man who has really been through hell and back.
And comes to work every day. Like, every day. Like, we have to tell him, stop coming to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, he is an employee that every company would want to have. Like, there is not a more dedicated guy than Jay Binkley. And throughout this battle that he's dealing with, he said the biggest problem for him was saying no to people, because he's never said no before. He's always said, yes, I'll do it. Yes, I'll be there. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. And now he's had to say, I can't.
Physically can't do it.
I physically can't do it. And so he'll be on at 10 o'clock today with the midday show. But I want you guys to listen to the podcast and hear a real human side of Jay Binkley and what he's battling right now and where it's going from here. Because it's tough, man. It's tough what he's going through. I feel bad for him.
Is there some action on it, though, still? Like, at the end, did you get in some action?
No.
No?
Oh, a maybe 20-second conversation about the Chiefs and the Super Bowl.
Okay.
But that's about it.
Okay.
It's all about him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, seriously, we have to tell Jay to stop coming to work. Like, he's so, like, mm-hmm. like, take care of yourself.
Right.
It's okay. Because, yeah, Jay's wanted he'll just say, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. Anytime, I'll do it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he's been battling this. And we've kind of encouraged him, too. Like, it's okay to talk about it. Right.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to. And then everybody respected his privacy. But it's cool. He's finally ready to talk about it as well. So go to 610sports.com. The 435 Podcast Network, you can download it there via the radio.com app and hear Fesco's KC Bobcast with our own Jay Binkley.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just after we were done, he said, man, thank you. I needed that, you know, and I said, good, because I hoped it was good for you. That's ultimately what I wanted to get out of it, because I think when you're going through things like that, and it's something that it's never going to end. It's just never going to end for Jay. When you go through some things like that, the best thing is just to be able to talk about it and have, you know, somebody be there to listen for you. And I think no matter what it is in life, if you're going through tough times, man, sometimes you just want somebody to listen to and to talk to about it. And I think Jay was able to get a little bit of that yesterday. And hopefully, you know, our conversation about 30 minutes long will get him feeling a little bit better. And hopefully when you guys listen to it, the support you'll then have for Jay Binkley will get him through it and really take him to another level as well.
So check out the KC Bobcast and, Big, we'll talk Chiefs at 10.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be able to stop him from talking Chiefs at 10.
But he's ready. Well, you may with some college football stuff. Maybe. Poll came out last night.
You say college football, he's on.
That's true. The penultimate college playoff poll is out, so no guarantees there. But there will be football to be discussed at 10. But
a lot of people on the text line are asking. It's the KC Bobcast is the title of the podcast, and it's on the 435 Podcast Network at 610sports.com.
There you go.
It'll be up at 11.
Radio.com. Be up at 11?
Yes.
Okay.
This half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. There are still some in prove it mode. We'll hear one next.
Fesco in the morning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.